And so what I want to read tonight in the spirit of prophecy, let me get this link and post it in the room for brother, for you guys to go to it so we can read from this. And then I'll talk a little bit about it when as we're reading. All right, so that's the link on the site where you can go and follow along with what I'm going to read here. And I will just talk as I read and what have you, kind of like with what Pastor Nicholas does. With the way that I grew up doing things in the church for the last 7 years in the ministry, if this is a little different for me to sit behind the computer and do what Pastor Nicholas, you know, has been doing so well for the Lord. I'm used to, you know, standing there in the church and feeding off the eyes of the people in the church, and sometimes I change things up, or I don't even have the sermon written out. I just have some verses that I want to speak about, and then next thing you know is I'm not even using those verses. I'm in another area. And so having this all organized and laid out like this, it's a little different for me. But I can see why the Lord's allowing this to happen, because He knows this makes me a little bit nervous and what have you, because it's just different from the way I've used to doing things. But anyhow, God is with us. Let's have a blessed Sabbath day, and let's read from Christ in All Our Thoughts in Heavenly Places. The link is in the room, and that's in Heavenly Places, Christ in All Our Thoughts. And it starts off with Psalms chapter 139, verse 23 to 24, okay, where it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." That is a wonderful verse right there that we can all learn from. That right there is really going to wake somebody up who is wanting to make it to heaven. We have to become like Christ. We have to allow Him to search our hearts and to try us. He has to try us. We have to be tested to see if we're going to be fit for heaven, to make it into the everlasting kingdom. That so many people believe that all they've got to do is believe, and that's all that they need to do to get there, when that's so far from the truth. And so as striving commandment-keeping Christians, we understand that we are going to go through so much in order to perfect things in our lives that need perfecting. And we're going to do away with the things that don't need to be in our life. And that's what's good about coming together on the Sabbath day, where we can sit down and fellowship with one another and listen to the Word of God and what the prophetess had to say for these last days, and getting our life more fine-tuned in the things of God. And so she goes on to say, "Few realize that it is a duty to exercise control over the thoughts and imaginations." So a lot of us, I get a lot of text messages where people seem to be having trouble with temptations. And a lot of it is because we are not fully focusing on Christ. I'm telling you, I've been down that road. I remember when I first came into this church. This was February. Now that's 12 years in February. Yeah, February the 11th was the last time, 12 years ago to the date, when I took my last drink. And I remember it was at my friend's restaurant. And, you know, just looking back at that, I can tell you guys, when I first came into this church and being tried so much, I was drenched in the world. I was so drenched into the world and stuff. And it was no easy matter when being tried and tested and having the type of friends that you have that Satan gave to you in this world to pull you further away from God. But I remember nights, you know, after learning so much from Pastor Nicholas and the website and the Bible and the spirit of prophecy and putting it all together and knowing my commission and what I must do, How many nights I would wake up, it seemed like clockwork, 3 o'clock in the morning, when your bodies are weak and Satan tries to come in and tempt you and test you, or call your friends and go out and meet with them and get in contact with old connections and stuff. But I would go outside, I would run out into my backyard, and I would just go face down in the grass, and I would cry out to Jesus, and I would tell him, please help me, I don't want to die, because I know what the end result of all this is. I prayed so much to get my mind, my thoughts fixed on Christ as much as possible. And it took many years to transform this mind and the imagination that had corrupted my life for so many years prior to that. It took so much effort by praying constantly to become more like Christ. And today, it is a whole lot better. So many things have been overcome because of exercising our ability to keep our minds fixed and fine-tuned on the things of God, reading our Bibles, praying, and applying everything that we learn. Amen? And by doing this, our minds will become more like Christ. And thus, our fruits will speak, He is abiding with us. And she goes on to say, it is difficult to keep the undisciplined mind fixed upon profitable subjects. So if we're not going to discipline our mind, if we're going to keep them on unprofitable subjects, things that have no eternal weight, then we can't expect to overcome the things we're not overcoming. And that's what's going on with a lot of people in the world today, where they just can't seem to get a grip on the scriptures and walk with it and apply it in their life, but yet they just fall so far away from Christ because they're not exercising their God-given free will to choose Him, to study Him, to know Him, to walk with Him. And if we're not going to do that, we're going to slip away. And the scriptures are clear that it is hard for us to come back once we have tasted of the heavenly gift to come back to the place where we were once out. And so I'm just telling you, while you have the time and while you are living on this earth today, now is the time for salvation. Now is the time to get right with God. Now is the time to fix our mind on Christ, because we're at the end of all things. And if we don't get ourselves prepared for what's coming, we're not going to stand. And what we're doing today is just going to be a waste of time. So we have to decide today what we're going to do. Fix our mind on profitable subjects and discipline the mind, or just don't discipline it and miss out on heaven, eternity. He goes on to say, but if the thoughts are not properly employed, religion cannot flourish in the soul. That's true. The mind must be preoccupied with sacred and eternal things, or it will cherish trifling things like lacking insignificance, if you will, and superficial thoughts that don't need to be in our lives. She goes on to say, both the intellectual and the moral powers must be disciplined, and they will improve by exercise. It is constantly striving and contending for the faith and overcoming daily. When you fail, you get on your knees, you talk to God, you talk to the Father, you pray to Him through Jesus, you ask for forgiveness, you get back up and you contend and you fight again. And you exercise this and you make it a habit and you continually do the right thing. And when you're walking this world, you will find yourself and your life more in accordance with God. You will see that your life is changing because you're constantly, daily walking to be like Christ, because you are eating of the scriptures, like with Pastor Nicholas in the sanctuary. Study, read, and apply, and your life will light up with good fruits. In order to understand this matter, Ellen White goes on to say, aright, we must remember that our hearts are naturally depraved, like morally corrupt and wicked, and we are unable of ourselves to pursue a right course. And this is why you have the Protestants today, the Seventh-day Adventists and the Catholic churches in the world and the alike who, you know, adhere to the commandments of men. They are not pursuing a right course. They are going down the broad road to destruction, where they are clearly deceived because they are morally corrupt. They are in apostasy. They are dwelling within the wicked things of the world. If you look at these churches, they are so involved with the world that it's not even funny. But we who are not of the world, who are contending and striving daily to overcome the flesh, not allowing Satan to control the avenues in that go to our mind, but fixing our life and our thoughts upon Jesus Christ, then Christ, who is supposed to be in all of our thoughts, will help us and help us walk in this world and do what we're supposed to do. And thereby, when we do those things, we will be a light to others, and they will want to inquire who we are, and there they will see who our God is. And it is only by the grace of God, combined with the most earnest effort on our part, we have a work to do on our part with the Creator, that we can gain the victory. It's not that Christ gets to do everything for us, or that we don't have to do anything. Okay? We don't just stop at justification. We got sanctification to go to in order to be glorified. Okay? There's justification, sanctification, and glorification. And that is making it to heaven in the end. And in order to get to that point, we cannot stop at justification. We got work to do. It goes on to say, the intellect, as well as the heart, must be consecrated to the service of God. We have got to get our lives on that path, working and laboring for others. And when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing in our lives, from applying what we learn and what have you, we're going to go out and proclaim this truth. Because I'm telling you, when you get your life more in accordance with God, you're walking more with Him, like the disciples did, as an example, you're going to go out and work. You're going to go out and do those things. When you have the truth and you're close to God, you want to scream it on the rooftops until maybe one day you're a pastor or a deacon in the church or an elder in the church or just out there daily working for the lost, glorifying God in every way, shape, or form because you love Him so much and you want others to taste of this heavenly gift so that they may enter into the kingdom to come, which is coming very soon. Okay, next, she goes on to say, few believe that humanity has sunk so low as it is, or that it is so thoroughly bad, so desperately opposed to God as it is. When the mind is not under the direct influence of the Spirit of God, Satan can mold it as he chooses. So, if we are not going to follow Christ, then who are we going to follow? Satan. Because we know that there are two masters and we can only serve one. We're either going to serve Jesus and follow Him and allow Him to mold our life, or we're going to choose Satan. There's no gray road. It's either the broad road or the narrow road. You can have a knowledge of the truth, but that doesn't mean that you're going to be saved for eternity. You have a knowledge of the truth and you're applying it. Faith and works go hand in hand. And we want that direct influence of God to be in our life. The Spirit of God working through us and with us so that Satan cannot mold us and fasten us to his liking, to like the world. I got to tell you, you know, when I was drenched in the world for so many years and being so blinded, but then when I came into the truth, oh man, you look back and you just get sick to your stomach. Oh Lord, what did I do? To the point I found myself many times crying. Because when you're examining yourself, when Christ is examining you, and things are being removed, or you're detecting things in your life that shouldn't be there, It hurts when you're a Christian. We should not be offended of those things, especially when others come to correct us, when they see that maybe we're not walking as we should, and that they see how Satan is actually molding that individual. Those who love you will help you. They will correct you. They will do everything they can to pull you out of the condition that you're falling into. Those who do not love you and who could care less about you, they're just going to let you be. They're going to go off and drink with you, smoke dope, do drugs, hang out with other people you shouldn't be and doing things with them that you shouldn't be. The mind will become carnal. All the rational power, she goes on to say, which he controls, Satan, will carnalize that person. Carnalizing the mind, which is Satan's work, is enmity against God. We cannot be carnally minded. We have to be spiritually minded. We have to exercise our liberty to do the right thing. Satan will try to stop us to do the right thing. But we have a right, a God-given right, to do the right thing. And when we have a knowledge of those right things that we should be doing, we should apply it. Because if we don't, we're playing with death. Death is on the track of all those who will not adhere to the written word of God and what we must do. She goes on to say, Satan is directly opposed to God and his tastes, his views, his preferences, his likes, his dislikes, choice of things, and pursuits. There is no relish for what God loves or approves, but a delight in those things which he despises. There you have two masters working against each other. Who are we working for? Who are we working with? Who are we walking with? These are things that we need to examine, especially as we get ready to take communion. We've got to get our lives more cleaned up. And I can't stress this enough. This is my duty, to get people to understand their Christian duty and what they must do to prepare for heaven. As hard as it is to make it to heaven, if Christ is with you, the old man will die. He will be crucified. And the world will see it, that you are a holy, peculiar person. She goes on to say, if Christ is abiding in the heart, he will be in all our thoughts. Our deepest thoughts will be of him, his love, his purity. He will fill all the chambers of our mind, because we've got to guard those avenues. He will guard all the chambers of our mind. Our affections will be centered upon Jesus Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these things he will add unto you. We don't need to be thinking about anything else except focusing our minds on Christ. Not just on the Sabbath day, not just after work, as much as possible. Putting him daily in our lives. That is so important, especially for the age called the end of the world that we are in. She goes on to say, all our hopes and expectations will be associated with him. To live the life we now live by faith in the Son of God, looking forward to and loving his appearing, will be the soul's highest joy. He will be crowned of our rejoicing. He will be the crown of our rejoicing. I sit here and I hear these things, like when I do my studies, and we fix our mind on heaven. You can't really imagine what it's going to be like and that reward that is coming. Seeing Christ come with the clouds of heaven, those angels that are surrounding him that are just countless in number, coming here to reward you with everlasting life. Can you imagine what's coming? Our light afflictions right now, they're nothing for what's coming. And the more that we fix our mind on these things, on the things of Christ and his second coming, the more we put it in all the chambers of our mind, the more power we're going to have to say no to Satan. Because we have a guard standing at every avenue in our life, from our eyes to our ears, to the things that we do, to the things that we see. What we behold, we become changed. That's why it's so important to keep our mind fixed on Christ. Because when we fix our mind on Christ, Satan cannot penetrate down into the heart. Whatever's going on in the mind is going to go down into the heart, and then what's in the heart is going to come out in our works. So, she goes on to say, those who have trained the mind to delight in spiritual exercises are the ones who can be translated and not be overwhelmed with the purity and transcendent glory of heaven. We are preparing for heaven. If we don't want to be overwhelmed with the things of heaven and its purity, can you just imagine how pure heaven is, and how clean it is, and how holy it is, and how no sin dwells there, and how no death lives there, and how no sickness, no crying, all the things that Christ is going to give to us. Today is the day that we are to prepare for that time. And that reward that is coming is going to depend on what we're doing today. Because all who are not decided followers of Christ are the servants of Satan. We have to understand that. So which is it? To all that may be listening on the radio, or wherever you may be at listening to this message this Sabbath day, before we take communion and stuff, we need to decide who we are serving. We have to decide what we want in this life. Hereafter, either eternal death or eternal heaven. We have to make that choice, and we have to make that decision today. And by fixing our minds again on Christ, I can't say it enough, you will begin to see the things that don't matter anymore. A lot of us have put away the alcohol, the drugs, the pornography, the things that lure us away from Jesus Christ. They're just going to fall away. And a Christian will get sick to the thoughts of engaging in such things. The servant of Satan will embrace them. But I tell you, and I give you comfort, that if there's a war going on in your mind, a tug of war where things are going back and forth, okay, I'm falling so much here, or I fell for a year here, or I've done great here, or I'm not doing so well here, and you see that and you examine yourself, and Christ brings you to the wilderness of testing, and you see that where you need to improve, don't be discouraged. Be comforted and understand that Christ is saying, hey, look at this. See this? Let's clean this up. We have help that will help us do this. And when we cling to that help, we will get stronger each and every day, each and every minute, and each and every second. So with that said, I don't want to keep you guys here too long. I got to get some things going for tomorrow's study before the communion. But let us examine ourselves and prepare for that communion, because it's very important, especially as we're living in these last days, and we just don't know when all these things that are supposed to happen are going to happen. But that latter rain is getting ready to really be poured out. I can just feel the blessings of heaven that are getting ready to come out upon all of us. And we're going to see it in our life sermon. That's part of the fruits of receiving the latter rain, is that our life sermon is speaking of the glory of God, and that our faces are going to light up, and we're just going to go forward with that message like never before, and it is going to enrage the wicked, and they're going to try to come after us and kill us, and you know the story, and we've got to prepare for that time. So have a blessed and wonderful Sabbath day. Keep your minds fixed on Christ. God bless you all, and I will close in prayer right now. Everybody bow.
Bow your hearts. Father in heaven, we come before your throne in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we are contending and striving daily for the faith, we ask that you would give us more power and give us the strength and the ability to stand in the days ahead and endure till the end and not be those that draw back but continue to press forward. And those that may have slipped into a time of darkness, we pray that you will reach down to the depths of their life and pull them back and bring them back to good standings and set them upright and make them be faithful watchmen and ambassadors for these last days. And let us all get ready to proclaim this message more and more abundantly, more than ever before, so that we can end this great controversy once and for all with Christ and his angels and Satan and his angels, and let them just be devoured by the truth, and let a wonderful harvest in these last days, the age of the end of the world, be won for Jesus Christ. And we can do this, uniting together in unity for these last days, is my prayer for all. In Jesus' name we pray with the Holy Spirit. Amen.